Hello and welcome to the Squeaky Bum Time Podcast. It is Monday, January 16th. In this episode, Manchester United blow a two-goal lead, West Ham battle Leeds in a seven-goal thriller, and City ho-hum put the Premier League in a death grip. But first, Mike, how does it feel to get a stay of execution the day without self-loathing?
Yeah, it felt great, to be honest. I woke up this morning. I was a little tired. I wasn't hungover, which is a rare for a Sunday for me. And I was so grateful that, like, I already had, like, a knot in my back. I was so primed to be so fucking angry at Tottenham today. And I didn't have to be, and it was wonderful. Now, you're going to go through the scores. I've got a take on it because Arsenal are still full of shit at this whole thing.
I'll go through the scores.
We'll come back to it.
Yeah, first game, Saturday, 4 a.m. on the West Coast. City defeat Chelsea 1-0. It was easy. It was typical. Lukaku doesn't show up. City are in control. Get everything done. Wolves defeat Southampton 3-1. Normal service. The big news there, Wolves scored 3 goals. That's weird. And they gave up one. Even weirder. Newcastle with Chris Wood in the squad, with Trippier in the squad. Draw 1-1 at Watford at home to Watford. They're winning this game. Saint-Maximin did the Saint-Maximinest thing ever. He was amazing. Maybe he should go to Liverpool. But Watford pull one back, and Ranieri gets a stay of execution. Someone who doesn't. Norwich 2, Everton 1. Bye-bye, Rafa. Rafa Benitez, last game, he gets fired, losing to Norwich, bottom of the table. Actually, no longer bottom of the table. And then, in the final game of Saturday, Aston Villa 2, Manchester United 2. United played well for 25 minutes, and then the master, that is Gerrard, comes in and says, not so fast, my friend. And United are terrible in the second half. Villa could have won this game easily. And then on Sunday, plus 900 Brentford, played like plus 900 Brentford, losing to the African-less Liverpool 3-0. Anfield is still undefeated. And then in the final game, a surprise game of the day, West Ham 2, Leeds 3. Former NYCFC winger and Wake Forest alum.
Hey now.
Jack Harrison scores a hat trick. He had been having a very disappointing season, but he gets a famous win. I have a question on these things. If you win your team a game, does it matter if you were shit the rest of the season?
If you're Leeds, maybe... No. Hold on. It's all about the context of the game. Let's start there because this was the game of the week.
It was amazing.
And so if you beat a big side, who, by the way, your beloved Jared Bowen really shit the bed in this one.
Yes, he did. But he did score a goal.
Well, he scored a goal. But he was in the ire of Leeds fans because I forget exactly when the game was, but the last time they had played, he scored and shushed the crowd. Oh. So for him to miss a sitter in the 94th minute to tie the game and for them to get 3 points off of them, that was some Scheidenfraude for the Leeds faithful, which
In the final second of the game, I'm talking 93-45.
Yeah.
Jared Bowen is in the box. Oh, and inexplicably, the cross comes in, goes past one player. He's got the sitters of sitterdom. And he decides to chest it. And it goes over the bar from 3 feet out. If he heads it down, it's a draw. Cool. And probably deserved because before we get into the North London Derby, this game was really good. And I think what happened with Leeds was they somehow managed to get West Ham to play at their pace. Mm-hmm. It was a Leeds game.
It was a
everything was
back
fast.
And forth. Yeah.
Everyone was running with the ball, forgetting about their teammates. I think West Ham, when they're at their best, you play the way West Ham wants to play.
Yep.
And Leeds, we know, can be gotten at. You just string some passes together and slow things down so that they can't do their thing. But in this game, it was up and down. Leeds got into their frantic. The game is better for Leeds when it's crazy because, one, they're fitter than you. Even when they're bad, they can still run more than you can. Mm-hmm. And I noticed in this game, Declan Rice was really carrying the ball and trying to drive West Ham forward to get the equalizer and get the win. But he also wouldn't track back towards the end and kind of slowed down. There was an offside goal by Click that he was at fault for because he didn't track him.
Yeah.
Because he had just been running up and down for an hour.
And this game's at the London Stadium. So it's kind of interesting that Leeds was able to dictate what would be happening to West Ham, right? Mm-hmm. It's rare that you get a side who's in the top six, top four race, who plays a bottom half side at home. Like if this game, were at Leeds, then that makes sense. Like that they're kind of the crowds behind them and all that stuff.
It's but frantic.
So for them to do that on the road to a team like West Ham was even more surprising, I think, for me.
Yeah. But it was fun. It was, again, it was Leeds from last season. It was one of those like, oh, there they are. Leeds aren't going down. They're fine. Yeah. And they do get their, that's a big fucking win for them. I mean, that is massive. It puts them way almost 9 points out of the relegation zone. Some teams in the relegation zone haven't played since like 1340, since they children put their hands inside looms and got smashed at some cotton factory in Manchester. So I made a historical reference to the unionization and the child labor laws of 1830. Anyway, that would be Burnley. But it was a good game and we needed it because if we go to your team, the North London Derby was called off.
And so obviously
alluded to it on Thursday that it might happen.
Yeah, and so that really picked up steam pretty late after we recorded our show. I think it came out on Friday afternoon that Arsenal had officially and formally requested the postponement, and Spurs were furious with that. A, because of the late timing. B, because they had basically had the same thing happen to them, but they tried to get a game against Leicester, which is going to be rescheduled for Wednesday, I believe. They tried to get that postponed, and they were told initially no, only to have Leicester to basically say, wait, we also want to postpone, and then the Premier League agreed. So, by the way, they were kicked out of the Who Gives a Shit tournament. I mentioned it on
right,
Thursday.
Right, because they didn't have any players.
Because they didn't have any players. They had an actual COVID outbreak. So, there's a couple of different sides to this. First and foremost, I don't blame the Premier League for making this
rule. I have the opposite take. Go ahead.
Well, hold on. The reason why is because in this world that we currently live in, whether we like it or not, it is very, very difficult to say what the fuck everything's going to look like 8 to 10 months from now. So to allow the latitude and thinking that, you would have the ability to have teams have that ability to say, whoa, we're really stricken with this. You know, it could have gotten exponentially worse than it is. Thankfully it hasn't. But so to bring it back to Arsenal taking full advantage of that rule. Now let's go through their injury list for a second. They had one player reportedly with COVID.
Yeah, Odegaard,
who was recovering, by the way.
Yeah.
They had, I believe, four players at AFCON, which is not an injury. Correct. That is not an illness. That is something that isn't
that, like they knew 3 years ago was
that going. Is, as they say, an occupational hazard.
Yes.
Right. They had three
Partey, Aubameyang, Elneny, and one other guy.
Right. They had, I believe, three actual injuries, which, again, not a reason to postpone a match. No. Oh, yeah. And Granit Xhaka. And Granit Xhaka, who can't stay on the field because he doesn't obey the rules. So when you put all that together, that's heck of a shitstorm you got there, Arsenal. Gosh, what are you guys going to do? Oh, I know what we're going to do. We're going to try to get the match postponed. So
it's really disingenuous on Arsenal's part. Right?
It's extremely disingenuous. And I think they didn't want to get battered by the way, in case you forgot what I said on Thursday, by a Spurs team who was not exactly in fine form. They were limping into that match themselves after having getting battered by Chelsea twice in the last week.
I just think it's let me take a step back. I don't blame Arsenal for doing it. The rule is there. You should try and take advantage. I just think they're being short-sighted. They, to me, had the momentum after Liverpool. Their team is young. They want to play. Half the team is Arsenal kids from London who are like, this game.
Let's go beat those guys. Like, absolutely.
Smith Rowe was going to run through anything, right? Yes. There was some real juice there. Spurs doesn't have Sonny, who is a big game player, whether you think he's hot or not.
No, he absolutely is.
He would
is.
Find a way. And
one
I just
other
don't...
big name.
Yeah.
One other big name. Christian Romero is close. He's almost back. So that means we don't have to play Ben Davies at center back anymore when he comes back. Okay. Well, so what you've done, Arsenal, let me, by the way, now what's going to happen is this game's going to get rescheduled in 6 weeks to 2 months. Yeah. And now you're going to have to play probably a full strength Tottenham side. Now you're going to have to play a team who's in a shit patch of form right now. They're probably going to iron that out every day. As I said earlier, when Spurs had a few games postponed, every day that they get to work with Conte is a day that they are better than they were the day before. So if you're going to give me 2 months, good. Come on down. Yeah, it's going to be much nicer weather. It's going to be lovely at the new Tottenham Hotspur Stadium. We're going to kick your fucking asses in 2 months. I'm very okay with it. You're going to have the best version of Tottenham. So good luck with that.
Neither of them have Europe.
Right.
They both advanced in the FA Cup. Yes.
Correct. And Spurs have now four games to make up.
Right. And then the other piece is Arsenal still have to play Liverpool at home. Yeah. I mean, Correct. It's a shame because I think the thing that's sort of really kind of gross and terrible is, and this is COVID and I get it, but like people who plan to go to that game as their big day of the year.
Oh, I feel horrible for the fans. Yeah. On both sides.
So many people like make the North London Derby the... You make a vacation out of it.
I've thought about it.
Yeah, yeah. You go to it. So, I mean, to not think of that, and not even to not think about, to give less than 24 hours notice.
Yep.
I mean, that is just, I sometimes wonder, these are the things that I wonder sometimes about English football is that I think about with the NFL. The NFL would never fucking do this. Ever. Like, this is a Sunday night football on the equivalent of NBC on Sky Sports. Right. They get Gary Neville. They've got Kara. They've got all the production. They've got it all ready. And they cancel the game?
Yeah.
No fucking way. No chance. That would never, ever happen.
No chance.
And then one other point that I tend to agree with Gary Neville on this. Gary Neville made a really good point. He was like, okay. Why do you have a youth setup? Why do you have an under 23? Why are you spending all this money on players?
And why are you bragging about all of them?
Right. And you loaned players out in the context of knowing this was going to happen. Yeah. This isn't to like attack Arsenal, but these teams need to understand that you have the players. It's on the schedule. You're playing. That's it. It's no more bullshit. You go deep. You find your players. Like so this is the segue into the Arsenal into City's game. One thing I will notice about City, and it might be because we're rich or whatever, Guardiola never complained about anything, ever.
Yeah, it's because you're.
Whereas
rich.
You had Klopp and Tuchel, what?
Yeah, it's because you're rich.
No, but Klopp, but Liverpool and Chelsea have money. Okay, Manchester United have money. These teams all have money. It's all relative. Yes, City has more money. But what is the damage that your coach is doing to the team to give the players that 2% of excuse that we're missing players? And what do you think happens to Chelsea? They drop fucking 20 points in the last 10 games, basically, right? And they're wondering where they are right now. Well, listen, German coaches, don't be honest, okay? Don't be like, how come it's not like Germany? I don't have enough players. Go, we got players. We're going to go fucking kick their ass. Your players will follow you instead of saying, hearing your excuses. And I'm I don't get in for narrative. I understand, and I've tweeted about this a lot. Manchester City have to earn every ounce of glory that they get. No one is going to give it to them. They've got to beat every team. Twice. They've got to win the league, not twice in a row, but four in a row. They have to stomp United until they never come back ever again. Till someone goes, all right, do you have fans? Okay, I got it. Stop. Just fucking let Pep leave. Just please. Just don't like the league needs to be like, just don't hit me again.
Yeah.
And it needs to be like that. And City did that to Chelsea at the Etihad. It was not a contest. This was more of the same City. I mean, City's methodical attack, the super duper hardworking. And I mean, these big games, if I could give one player the epitome of what it looks like, and if you don't watch City, it just looks like it's attacking. Bernardo Silva is in your ass every second of every game. Yeah. He doesn't even get the ball and make plays or do anything. He is just in your fucking shorts. Like, you get the ball. And he goes from guy to guy. He's in the midfield just, oh, Conte? Oh, Kovacic? Give me the fucking ball. I will get it from you and kill you. And City didn't really create much, but neither did Chelsea. And when they did almost create things, it was Lukaku out of form. He missed a shot. He made the wrong choice of a pass on a couple breakaways. But that was really it for Chelsea. They really didn't do anything else. And City just methodically worked it until Conte, of all people, makes a mistake. He rides fucking Kevin De Bruyne pretty hard, nipping at his heels, and De Bruyne in a late in the second half, no backlift shot that Kepa fucks up. I mean, it went past him. It was the classic Kepa where it's like, wait a minute.
Hold on.
On second thought, why did that get past you?
Well, hold on.
He got duped.
In the first half, Kepa was the man of the match.
Well, right. Yeah. City did create.
So listen, we give him a lot. We give Chelsea a lot of shit.
Yeah.
I have to say that in the first half of that game, I woke up, I watched it. I was extremely surprised and impressed with Kepa. And it was almost as if they had spent $70 million on the man. But, you know, he was decisive. That's the thing, is that, like, you could see that he basically had the yips for a year and a half there, right?
Kind of, yeah.
He was an asshole, and then he had fucked a few things up. So, therefore, he had a, you know,
save on Grealish is incredible.
Yeah.
Agreed.
So, I mean, you know, he kept Chelsea in the game for as long as he could. So I feel like he bought that one. You know, I think he's allowed to have it. It's not as if, like, it went through him, right?
He took a step the wrong way. It had no backlift. But when you look at it again, it's just like, it's not that far in the corner. But he got wrong-footed. But City, basically, that's Chelsea gone. They're 13 points behind.
Yeah.
They're in a really bad run of form. The Lukaku thing with Tuchel is weird. Basically, Tuchel called him out in a press conference just like, hey, you got to hold up the ball. You can't lose the ball. And that's what Lukaku did. Said his name specifically. Weird. It's already unraveling for him. That was odd.
Yeah, it's weird. Like, I mean, obviously, I know the fight in Abramovich's don't have a historically long leash with managers. You seem to think he's already on the hot seat, though.
If he keeps losing like this, sure, he'll get fired. Why not?
Yeah.
I mean, listen, I don't want to be like completely reactionary, but this is a team. Let's see, not counting. Let me just look in the league really quickly as I hunt this down. In the Premier League, they have one win in five.
Yeah, I know.
In six, excuse me.
So
it's bad.
I mean, it is. Is there anything to be said for all of – I mean, look, he's got 10 excuses. It's a matter of which one he wants, right?
That's the problem, is that he's blaming people now. It's this sort of – we don't have enough fuel to get across them to Dataland. What am I supposed to do? These tanks are beautiful. They're very fast, but no shells, no soldiers to use them. I built the tanks. The tanks are great.
Yeah.
It's not my fault that the Russians have built 40 for every one of mine.
As the season wore on, and we knew that AFCON would be looming from the Liverpool point of view, we sort of, by the way, you didn't want to admit it yet, it was Manchester City's title to lose, and they are refusing to even entertain the notion.
They simply put the fucking pedal to the gas.
They have. Okay. Here you are, Chelsea. You are 2 points and a game behind Liverpool. So effectively between 3 and 5 points, most likely. Mm-hmm. You're comfortably ahead of West Ham for fourth. You're comfortably in the Champions League places. You're in the knockout round of the Champions
League. They could still win the Champions League.
You can still go win the Champions League. You can still go win the League Cup. You can still go win the FA Cup. I don't buy for a second that Tuchel's on the hot seat. I think he needs to shut the fuck up. I think he needs to relax.
Funny thing about it is he's having somewhat the same problems he's having the same problems they had last year. And last year it was with Havertz and Werner, and this year it's with Lukaku. Something about that setup is not working. there is a striker curse, and as Morata, Shevchenko, and Fernando Torres will tell you, yeah. at West Ham, basically the only at Chelsea, the only fucking striker who ever did well is Diego Costa. All the other ones are shitty.
Drogba.
Yeah, but I mean,
after since that. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. But we talked about West Ham really barfing up an opportunity. A tough game, Leeds. They got the Leeds game. They got the game from Leeds where he's like, oh, fuck, Leeds are going to go do Leeds again. Arsenal, we know, did not play. Your beloved Tottenham didn't. And now we can sort of get into, do we want to get into Rafa or do you want to talk about United?
Let's talk about United because that's in the top four race. I've got a piece to say about the top four in general. And then yeah, I'm interested to get into Rafa and what we think is going to happen next.
So first half, basically, United come out and they are good. I almost said this was the best, aside from maybe one of the other, there's a cat here, one of the other early Ragnick games, this was the best United performance for 25 minutes. They pressed the fuck out of Aston Villa. Aston Villa were not there. They were having a lot of trouble. Buendia was making mistakes. They just couldn't seem to get moving. A lot of pressure, a shot that could have been offside, but Mings played him on. Cavani gets in the way of Martinez. He yaks it, and they get a goal. Then another break and another move. Can't get out of the way. Another break and another move, and Fernandez gets them a goal. And they're up 2 late in the second half. In the first 2-1. Half. I went a little bit too fast. First half is very dominant United. Second half, Gerrard's like, you motherfuckers better get this done. This is not acceptable.
Yeah.
Not okay. Okay. He takes off Konsa, brings on Courtney House. Second half, United, Aston Villa are much, much better. They are at it. They are pressing. They are like, okay, what? And they're creating all the chances, all of them. Mm-hmm. They are completely on top of United. And United are beginning to look like what they had looked like. Cavani had clearly run out of gas. He was pressing early. This kid, Alanga, was really, really good for United. He gave them energy. And Greenwood was really good on the out ball. They're building up. They're having a shot. Then Fernandez, they break. Fernandez scores a goal to really put, you know, Fred does a really good job of intercepting a ball, makes the pass to Fernandez. It was Sanso. They're trying to play out from the back and make a mistake, and United capitalizes on it, and boom, they're up 2-0. They look great. They're cruising. They've got this. Not so fast, my friend. Gerrard makes substitutions. He brings on Philip Coutinho for Sanson, who just to make a mistake. So Coutinho comes on, does the heroic thing, starts getting on the ball. Nothing's really changing, but they're starting to create things. They're in the ascendancy. United can't string balls together. It is a disaster. Like, you don't even, it's laughable. They can't hold the ball. They've lost control of this game. Then Chukwuemeka comes on for Danny Ings, which is also a fun one. Carney, they call him Carney, and Jacob Ramsey scores in the 77th minute. So both changes affect things. Coutinho assists on Ramsey's goal and then scores in the 81st minute. From an assist for Ramsey. So Jacob Ramsey and Coutinho are combining. They get their goals and bring it level. And they really have a shot in the last second to score and win. But Coutinho can't bring it home. Really, really good Villa. Again, Villa are now in that space where the performances are not as good as the results. But I'll take the performances over the results every time. Luka Dinya was up and down everywhere to the point that he got cramps. He was putting balls in the box. And United are still in their United phase where they're just a mess. They're almost the same as Ollie. Now, I do want to give some credit to United for the United doomsayers. The problem with United early on was that they just gave up goals all the time. Now, they don't give up much. They did today. But now they can't score. So if you look at their Premier League results, they've got like 3 or 4 clean sheets since Rangnick came on. So that part of it, he's gotten together. But now they can't seem to score or have control of the games at all. I think one of the things that was really crazy to me about this game was late mid second half on to the end of the game after the Fernandez goal, they couldn't hold on to the ball.
Yeah. That's what I was going to say. Like you kind of can't really, there's a counter punch that is thrown at them and it lands almost every time now.
Yep.
Right. Like they're not ready for look, you're up a goal with 25 minutes left. This is going to shock you, but they're going to really throw everything they have at you now to try and get the equalizer.
They seem to always be hanging on.
Right.
Yeah. They just don't, they either get tired or they don't have a way to up their levels to sort of wrestle back control in these games. They just don't have a, and United fans will laugh and be like, yeah, no shit. They don't have a midfielder. So, that is true. But they just lost the ball over and over again. And again, Villa, just hats off to them. They deserved a win. Or maybe a draw was fair. Not sure. But Villa played well. And I think, you know, again, Gerrard has something. He's, to me, grabbed the scruff of the neck of Villa. And either someone in their hierarchy wanted this to happen or he's making it happen. Mm-hmm. Getting Coutinho, getting Digne. And being like, oh, Steven Gerrard wants those players. I guess we go get them. Or they're working together and sort of trying to move up. But it seems weird because he was at Rangers. I don't think they wanted to fire Dean Smith. It seems like he's come in and be like, let's fucking go.
Let's go.
And,
yeah.
and is riling up the club.
Yeah.
And forcing them to get players that are mm-hmm. top level players.
Without question. I mean, they're not wanting for funds, right? They used... They smartly probably spent all of the Grealish money, right?
Buendia and a couple others, yeah.
Sure. And they spread it out and fine. But at the same time, this is a club who is interested in
going
improving.
Up. Yeah.
Right. And so this is a club who, by the way, Coutinho is on loan. You know what he costs you? Nothing. A wage check.
Yeah.
Right. So that's something where they're not breaking the bank. Digne was 25 million, which I think is fair market value. He's quite a good left back.
He is good.
And wing back. And he probably got a cut rate deal out of him out of Everton because Rafa wouldn't fucking play him, which gosh, that's an interesting segue in a second, because what if he just waited another week?
exactly.
But yeah, I mean, there's a lot to be had there as far as Villa's concerned.
And good and fun to watch, right? Really good to watch.
But their ambition, they go, you know what? This 20 million is going to make a difference, and it's in the P&L. We can fit this in.
Sorry, Mike.
As opposed to somebody that I fucking know in the top half of the Premier League table, whose name will remain
nameless.
Nameless.
So that then does go to the Everton game, and Rafa Benitez, as of this recording, has been fired. Duncan Ferguson is now in charge. Big Duncan
again.
He's back in charge of the team, and yeah, he'll get a good performance out of the team. They'll feel good, but. Apparently, politically, you know, and you can go back and look at these things if you're like deep into the club. Rafa was in a power struggle and got the medical team fired, the head of medicine and the director of football fired. They all left the team. And he iced out Digne. They sell him and then they fire Rafa.
Yeah.
That is not a sign of good organization.
So, okay, this is a knee-jerk reaction to a loss to what we think is comfortably maybe not last place anymore, but the worst team in the league.
Yeah.
So, if you basically are, I don't understand how you can, you say this a lot. If you're going to fire the guy, right, this actually, we were talking about it with Dean Smith.
Yeah.
It was Farke. Farke got the win and then was fired.
Because
right?
they knew they were going to fire
right.
him.
So, did you really? Like, was there like, is it double secret probation for Rafa here? Like, was that loss so bad that you had to just pull the trigger right now? Because you didn't think that three days ago?
They didn't think it through. They didn't think it through.
No, they didn't think it through. But you didn't think it three. Like, was this not even potentially an option
for the rest of the season? I don't know.
I have so many questions for Everton.
But the questions are, is the question goes back even further. You cannot hire Rafa Benitez for your team because. Like we've talked about in European soccer, especially in the Premier League, less so, I think, the fans are one of the pillars of the team.
Yeah.
Like you cannot ignore them.
And
people don't
forget.
They don't forget. They don't play music in the stands. They don't do anything like that. There's no like defense. The fans are most, you know, they go on the road. They follow the team. If you don't have them on side, you are fucked.
Yeah,
and Rafa was okay when he was winning and they were okay. Then he was okay when, you know, there was a lot. People gave him benefit of the doubt. Dominic Calvert-Lewin's out all year, blah, 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 blah. But Calvert-Lewin came back. The icing out of Digne, I think, was a bad with the Everton fans. They're like, wait a minute.
Of course it was.
This dude's awesome. Like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
The Rondon bring in and him not doing anything. The mm-hmm. style of play is not right. And then this, his DNA, the one of the things we both love about Premier League football is this stuff matters. Like, it's the team is the team, and you have to be in the Everton lane. And it's not clear always what it is. It just is like, not him. Then who? I don't know, but not him.
You know, and Spurs can be like this too. And by the way, Spurs and Everton are very similar teams and ethos
status-wise, yeah.
Status-wise, right. And there's actually an appreciation amongst Evertonians and Tottenham fans, yeah. And including myself. I love a good Evertonian. Nonetheless.
Everybody does. I think Everton is one of these teams that people like.
Yeah, they're like, yeah. Anyway, they're similar to Spurs. Mourinho comes in. He gets some results, and you're like, fine, but I don't believe it.
Yeah.
And then you go, I fucking told you so, right? Right. So you know what it isn't when you see it.
It's not Sam Allardyce. It's much easier to find.
Right.
It's not Koeman, who was clearly trying to use Everton as a stepping stone to get the Barca, which he did. It's this sort of, you need to be organic. You need to be on the ground. And Rafa could be that for Everton had he not been the Liverpool coach.
Right.
But because he was the Liverpool coach, he could never be that for Everton.
And very similarly with Jose and Chelsea, right? So you never really gave him the benefit of the doubt. And the same thing with Rafa. And you're like, that motherfucker, he's a snake. And I don't know when, but he will show his true fucking, right there he is. There he is, right there.
Yeah, there he is. So they
get him the fuck out of my club.
I mean, it's 7-8 months. I mean, it's bad. Like,
yeah.
And they had Ancelotti last year now.
But so let's talk about where Everton goes from here. And I know a couple of our friends our Squeaky Bum Time Facebook group, which, by the way, if you are listening to it, please join. We'd love to have you in and chatting all the things footy and all the time. You are much lower to the ground level on Derby County than I am.
Yes, I am.
Talk to me about the possibility of Wayne Rooney.
Wayne
coming Rooney. To the Premier League.
Okay, again. Now, I am not actively watching Derby County. I have to say that.
Okay.
However, Derby County 3 or 4 years ago, Frank Lampard was in charge. He got them to the playoffs. They almost made it to the Premier League. Now, they had been betting on that money to get in. This is, have you heard this story before? We're going to make it to the Premier League.
Yeah.
They don't make it. They keep hiding their financial problems. And the Grim Reaper comes in the form of COVID. No pun intended. Oh, maybe that's too soon. Anyway, it doesn't matter.
Hold on.
Nobody's dying. Anyway, so, and they have financial irregularities and financial problems. They go into administration, which is basically they go bankrupt and have to be restructured and they're owned by the bank, etc. Whatever. They receive two separate points deductions. 12 for going into administration, into bankruptcy, and another 9 points for financial irregularities. And the teams that got relegated last year are super pissed that this didn't come down from last season because Derby should have gone down and they shouldn't. So they're super pissed. That's Wycombe Wanderers. They're like, you fucks. So that's pretty funny. I like these.
The guy with the linebacker is a striker. Now, that's who plays for
Wycombe. Yeah, Akinfenwa. Yeah.
Yeah.
So now where they sit, they are on -1 goal difference, but only have, I think, 14 points now. They're 3 points off the next run. They're only, I think, 6 points off the relegation places with a 21-point deduction.
Yeah, I mean, it's impressive.
So they are playing well. I think they're on a 3-game winning streak. They pulled one out of their ass yesterday. Now, for them, they're actually out of the bottom. They have won four of their last five and are on a six-game unbeaten run. This is an actual good team. When you look at the championship table, coached? Both.
Okay.
When you look at the championship table, one team is plus one goal difference in 23rd place. So Tom Lawrence scored two goals late to bring them up. But just the idea of keeping this team on side, they're doing it with defense. You'd think that Wayne Rooney as a striker and an offensive player, one of the greatest Premier League offensive players of all time, would be something else. But he's doing it with defense. They are fourth in the division in goals against. And they are
with a heavy side of Englishness, if I may.
Yeah, I mean, it's big dirty. It's fighting. And you would expect it from Rooney. Rooney is a street baller. Rooney is famously 36 years old. He came up the same season and is the same age as James Milner. Look at them next to each other.
Yeah, right.
One person is decidedly a drunken alcoholic footballer, and one of them has never had a drink in his life, and that's James Milner.
Yeah,
no one ever would ever make a boring Wayne Rooney account on Twitter, but there is a boring James Milner account on Twitter,
right,
which is exactly. Very funny. So,
but talk to me about Wayne Rooney for Everton, because whether it's right now or whether it's at the end of the season, because again, Everton are wobbling. They're on 19 points. They're not necessarily all the way safe.
I think as we talked about on Thursday, too much of a Frank Lampard thing. It's too soon. It needs to be another season. It needs to be he stays, keeps them up, does another season. Then he can be. Because what you don't want to have happen is he's got this individual group. They're living off of his gravitas as a player. I think we talked about it with Gerard, right? He's brought a level of, that's fucking Wayne Rooney, right? He's sleeping with grandmas. I mean, he's crazy.
But he when he walks into the room, he commands the room, right?
He's got it.
And I don't know, and this is not to take away anything that Lampard did as a player.
He does not have the charisma that Wayne Rooney has. He didn't have
the walk into the room, and you could grab the best player by the scruff of the neck and go, you're listening to me now, right?
I do not feel that from
And we could be wrong. We're on the other side of the fucking pond.
There's a little too much Scouse manager love going on right now between Gerard and Lampard, between Rooney and Gerard. You've got a Red and an Evertonian, both from Liverpool, both in these moments of great.
But I can appreciate moments. It, right?
I did get into an argument with Arlo White because he said something. Oh wow, amazing with Derby County. I said, if Wayne Rooney keeps Derby County in the championship, that'll be bigger than Istanbul and Leicester City. And he was like, wait, stop. He agreed on Istanbul, but he was not with me on Leicester. I was like, why not? Did Leicester have a 22-point gap?
I've given Arlo some shit. He's a good sport. But you know what? I would defend that stance if I were him too. You don't get the shit on my Leicester City season.
Yeah, they did have to beat some really good teams. But it's their fault that we're in the state we're in because they pissed off all the big teams to spend all this money. I blame Leicester. Had a regular team just won the league that year, nothing would have gone crazy. Like Tottenham. God, if you'd have won that title.
We wouldn't have a show. I wouldn't give a shit. I'd be like, you know what? We won one title. I'm going to die soon probably and it's going to be fine. Right?
That's your title, by the way.
1961 was the last time that fucking happened. I wouldn't give a shit if Tottenham didn't win anything the rest of my life, which, by the way, they may not.
They'll win something. I don't care. So we've covered it all. Wayne Rooney to Everton. You heard it here first. It's definitely going to happen. I would recommend.
I want it to happen. I want Everton to be in that. I want to see Everton on the schedule and go, this is going to be Goodison Park. I don't want this. I don't want that smoke. That's the Everton I love watching. Right. Yeah. And I haven't seen it probably for 5 or 6 years at least.
I think.
And I miss it.
There was a half a season under Marco Silva that went wrong. There was the Lukaku Martinez seasons. They are looking at Martinez coming back. That is an option. He may leave.
Fine.
He may leave Belgium and come back to that team.
I mean,
by the way, you want
to well leave Belgium?
You want a name from the past? Ravel Morrison plays for fucking Derby. The criminal minded. Ravel Morrison out of Man United.
I don't
famous
know if,
for being a killer.
Basically. I don't know if Roberto Martinez is a bad fit for Everton. I don't like him as a coach. I certainly didn't love when his name was being thrown around with Tottenham in the offseason. But why would you stay with Belgium at this point? Why would Belgium stay with him? And by the way,
if I'm leaving, Belgium's over.
They're done.
I'll let Thierry Henry have that job. And
listen, international football is unpredictable. If it's anything, you could luck into a hot streak, but you certainly are. Your days of the golden generation being the favorite,
over.
Being a top five. Oh yeah, no, you done. Have the talent to compete with anybody on any day.
No,
don't
I think it's, I think that time
but
is over
not
because
be.
The defense got too old.
No, that's what I'm saying. You can't put Jan and Toby still out there. Christ,
they do.
I know.
And Vermaelen.
Yeah.
Yeah,
so
and Vincent Company. I mean, it's
right. And Mounier is getting old too, you know?
I know.
So,
yeah. And De Bruyne is now 30 and has Knox. And I will say this again. The Grealish buy makes more sense when you think of him as a replacement for Kevin De Bruyne.
Completely. No, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. So
what else
let's talk about the games coming up because there some games. So here's the thing. We've talked a little bit about how, you know, obviously Tottenham have four games in hand. There's, let's see. Liverpool, assuming that, I think this was technically match week 22. How the fuck anybody keeps this straight this season? God bless them. But based on the most number of games played is City and Chelsea and West Ham and a few others, I think. Nope, that's it. 22. Yes. So you've got Liverpool with one game in hand, Arsenal with two, Tottenham with four. Man United, Wolves, Brighton, all with three.
Burnley Leicester, have five.
Leicester also with four. And yeah, and if you go all the way down to the bottom of the table, they're in last place, Burnley. But it's because they haven't played five games. Norwich City is 2 points ahead of them with four more games played. So as much as that win is huge, yes. Are you kidding? Like, they really need to start putting points away if they're going to be serious about this. But, hey, I'm all for a four-way relegation battle with you have to count Watford into that. So that's going to be wacky. It's going to be a lot of fun at the end of the season. But you've got to tip Burnley right now. In fact, here's a good
one. Oh, no, I'm not tipping. Burnley's fucked.
No, I disagree. They have four games more than Watford, which is the important
they got to win them. They got to get points. They might just
win,
lose.
Okay.
Them.
If they win, yeah, no, I know. If they win one of the two games they're in hand, they're tied with Watford with a better goal difference. What I'll say is this: if you have odds, and I don't know what they would be, on who's to stay up of that group of four, right now, the best bet, the best value for your money is Burnley.
I talked about this. So I was chatting with a guy, EPL Index. He's really good, large.
Oh,
group.
Yeah.
I don't know who they are, but nice guys. Hello, EPL Index. Now, we're saying that out of this group of four, Watford, Norwich, Newcastle, and Burnley, Watford and Newcastle have real goal scorers, right?
Yep.
Watford's got Dennis and Josh King. They have actual players. Their problems in defense, and they give up too many goals. Newcastle, I think, Norwich City is probably the weakest of the group.
Without question.
They don't really have any goal scoring in them at all. Like, they literally haven't scored any goals.
Mm-hmm.
The next is Newcastle, who have Wood and St. Maximin and Chambers
and Wilson
and Trippier.
Callum Wilson.
Yeah, Wilson. That's what I said. They have the most, they have done the most where you feel like it can kick on. All Burnley have. They don't have the best players. They're the oldest group. They lost their best goal scorer. You look at it, you go 5 years back, Chris Wood has scored 10 to 12 goals a year for 5 years. That's not easy to come by.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing they have is we trust Dyche. That's it.
Well, and Cornet.
But he's been getting hurt all the time.
Yeah, he has.
Now, in terms of expected goal difference per 90, Burnley are the best of the group.
Yeah.
But they've given up more goals than you'd expect. So even though Leeds are down there, I take them out. But it's Watford, Norwich, and Newcastle. Watford's been making moves. They've already brought in two players.
Mm-hmm.
So they're going into their network to find guys. They're trying to stay up. I think Ranieri is a good manager. We're really, in terms of talent, Burnley are the weakest of the four.
Norwich is the weakest.
Yes, Norwich.
I think Norwich is the weakest. And again, they've got the most games played. This is important at this juncture of the season. This matters a lot. So, like I said,
I think it's close.
I'm not saying that I think Burnley will be the team with their head above water after 38 games. What I'm saying is, here's a shitty bet for you. We haven't given you one in a long time. Burnley to stay up in ahead of Watford, ahead of Newcastle, and ahead of Norwich. That, based on the games played right now, they're 1 point behind Newcastle with three games less than them. I think that they can do it. I think that they can get a Sean Dyche draw, and they're 12 goals ahead in difference.
I don't know when they're rescheduling, but I don't know when their next win's going to come. They have to beat Watford.
Well, that's the thing, is that
the schedule for them is, and that's a week 17 remake, the Watford game.
Mm-hmm.
Then they have Arsenal away, United at home, Liverpool at home, Brighton away, Palace away, Chelsea at home. Who are they beating?
Palace.
Nobody.
It could be Palace.
They're
Palace
not beating at home? Palace.
I'm away. Wait. Hold on. Let's stop. Burnley are not going to be close to favored in any game, but they can do a Burnley. They can punch you on the break. They can punch you
sure,
on the break.
Sure.
And they can steal a point. Right. That's what I'm
saying.
They're
going to have to. But what I'm saying is
the margins are thin here.
Yeah. Razor.
They've got four more chances to do a Burnley than Norwich does. That's all I'm saying. Right,
but I don't know where the wins are. Is what I'm saying. Like,
I don't. I don't look either. At the I'm not schedule, saying, but I'm not. But if I knew where one win was on that schedule, I'd put the house on Burnley to stay up. Right, I'm not saying that.
It's Watford. They got to win on Tuesday.
They've got to beat Watford. They've got to beat Norwich.
Yes.
Do they play? They. I'm sure they play Norwich again.
They play so right Norwich. There, they play
six potential points. Right.
Yeah, they've got and Brentford still.
We've talked a lot about how 40 points gets you clear, all that sort of being.
Oh, it's going to be like 33 or 34.
Not even. We are. Well, Watford is a good example. They're at the literal halfway point, and they're on 28 point pace, and they're going to stay up.
It's going to be one of these teams will be better, and one of them will get to like. The line will be like 35. Still
waiting 35. For it to be Newcastle, and it's very likely, if possible, that's them. But like I said, just looking at the math and the numbers right now, throw a couple of bucks on Burnley, not to be the team staying ahead. Would it shock you if Dyche at the end of the day, right?
No, of course not.
I'm saying it's a good value bet. And this is not knowing what the actual odds are. I'm going to look it up after the show. But I mean, I think... If you can find that, which I don't know either, I think it's a good bet. And let's segue that into from the bottom three to the top four conversation, because we've talked till we were blue in the face that it's a three-team league and whatever. And Chelsea are starting to slip a little bit further from that, but again, comfortably ahead of West Ham for fourth. But in so much as Burnley have 3 to 4 games in hand on Watford and Norwich and Newcastle, here come Tottenham. They won this weekend without kicking a ball, right?
Oh, they kicked ass this weekend without doing shit.
West Ham lost, and United dropped points with Villa. So now you've got, you know, and Arsenal are firmly right there, but you still have two more games in hand. By the way, one of them is Burnley. So you've got Leicester coming up on Wednesday, which is a big game. Leicester also, by the way, should be noted, also on 18 games played. But you've got... four more games than current fourth place holder West Ham, and you're only 4 points back. You can pull a Tottenham twice and still be ahead of them. So I have a renewed sense of hope, he said foolishly, for Spurs to finish that fourth spot, only because the rest of the league is looking at me, shaking me back and forth and saying, take it, you stupid bastard. Nobody else wants it.
4-7. I don't know how to read those European odds. Burnley are 4-7.
Oh, that's not that great. To not go down.
According to the bookies, Norwich are 1-14, are destined to return to the championship, followed by Watford and Burnley at 4-7.
Yeah, to get relegated. I'm saying
to get relegated.
Yeah, I'm saying to stay up. I think that they've got good odds. But anyway, United, for the love of Christ, I'm sitting here week after week saying it's going to be United. Of course it's going to be
United. Yeah, I don't think it's going to be United
now. I don't think it.
Remember
can't in good conscience say that anymore.
No, when Rangnick came in, we looked at the schedule like they could not lose until
March.
City.
Yeah.
That's gone out the window now.
Right out the window. They've dropped points in three of the last five games. What the fuck are you doing, United? You're making idiots out of us. We do that a good enough job already. But, I mean, Spurs, for as much as they're in turmoil right now as well. By the way, here we are on July.
Your team's not
January 17th. Haven't bought anybody, right? So we're going to learn a hell of a lot about Spurs on February 1st.
What are the odds Conte doesn't make it, finishes the season and leaves?
Very good. And I told you on the last show. I told you on the last show, where do I think he's going? United. I would not be surprised at all. Which, you know what? Then the fever dream of Pochettino coming back comes back in my head a little bit. And I'm sort of already talking myself into this. But listen, I think there's a good chance that Spurs find their way falling ass backwards into fourth place.
It's not
going to. And Conte goes, okay, seriously, though, if we're going to compete in Champions League and for top four, this is what I need. And Levy tells him to kick rocks. And he goes, fuck you. I'm going to United and I'm going to take the fourth spot next year.
Here's where I think it is. I think the teams that have the most cohesion, the most spirit, the most connectivity, and it needs, and for Spurs, I think it needs to come from Conte. Conte needs to find his fighting spirit. I think it's Arsenal and Spurs for that fourth slot. Because again, the Arsenal thing with the youth.
They get it.
If you would have told me that Gabriel and fucking Ben White and Ramsdale would be locking motherfuckers up. They don't give up goals.
Yeah. Wait, you said that.
Yeah, I did.
At the beginning of the season.
No, but I'm saying, like, I didn't know. I just sort of was just looking at the numbers. But yeah, those two dudes with Ramsdale, strong. They just are fucking and no, actually, they've been, the underrated one is on Tomiyasu. That they're not fucking around.
Hey, I remember you said it because Spurs ended up passing on him when they got Emerson. And you said that they would come to rue that. And I at the same time I didn't.
Oh, Ben no, White or
no, Tomiyasu. Because Tomiyasu was signed, sealed, delivered to the other part of North London if they wanted. And Spurs said, thanks anyway. We're going to get this kid from Barcelona on the cheap.
Oh, I think the problem was there was a little bit of beef about geishas in World War II. Sonny just didn't want the Japanese player because his grandmother was raped by soldiers.
Oh, Jesus.
It's a family story in the Sun family. He just was like, don't you fucking bring any of these Japanese people onto my team. And that's how I'm going to end the show.
All right.
That was the Squeaky Bum Time podcast with Mike Salerno and Laurent Cortines. We did bring the Pacific War into
you
this
You do
one.
Really get rewarded for waiting to the end of the show with us.
We are the
you
football really wing of the Chop Sports Network. Sorry, Cowboys fans. We record on Tuesdays and Fridays and Sundays. So be sure to subscribe wherever you get your podcast so you never miss an episode. And please, wherever you're listening, especially on Apple, please write reviews. We need you. We love you. And welcome all our friends from England and FanHub. We love you too. That's a cat's tail. And I am out of here.